You have tuned in to Open Mic on CJSF Radio, broadcasting on 90.1 FM from Burnaby Mountain, BC.
Hello, hello. You are listening to CJSF Radio 90.1 FM, broadcasting from the traditional and unceded territories of the Coast Salish people, including the Musqueam, the Squamish, the Tsleil-Waututh, the Coquitlam, and the Katsi nations. Unceded means that these lands have never been surrendered, sold, or given up by these nations, and we are currently situated on occupied territories. So, with that in mind, welcome to Open Mic on CJSF. Broadcasting from Burnaby, BC, I am Iago, and here I am with another episode. Today, I'm looking into starting a personal project that I have mentioned last week, where we dig into personal stories that really shape out of us. I'm looking into inviting guests into the mainstream radio and having people sharing their stories, their backgrounds, their struggles, whatever shape us on a daily-to-day basis. And that's it. Today I am here with a 20-year-old student who has moved from the Pacific Northwestern in the United States to Vancouver with the original dream of studying neuroscience at SFU, a colleague of mine. But after a year, he has decided to change his course a little bit. He's transitioning into a career as a hairdresser. And I would love to explore what that decision means to him, the challenge he's faced, what he seems on the horizon, more specifically, understanding how that can influence our day-to-day basis, decisions, how that come to us, and how we feel about this transitioning and big decision that we all have to make. So I would like today to first talk a little bit about the fun drive that is happening here at CJSF. These stories where we invite people to share a little bit of their background, to share a little bit of what they're feeling. It's not something you're going to listen on the traditional radio. We're always talking about how giving voice to other, to minorities, to people from our communities is important. And this is what that we do really inspire all of us. It's really inspired me for the new episodes that are coming along. And so I would like to invite you all for donating at cjsffunddrive.ca. Also, you can text donate to 778-782-2573.
How do you become radio's best friend? Good news, you already are. Listeners like you keep us company through the busy days and late nights, sharing songs, moments, and memories. I'm Danny, and during this year's Fun Drive, we're asking our best friends, that's you, to show their support by making a donation now at cjsffunddrive.ca or by texting donate to 778-782-2573.
So today, before starting, I would like to invite here Ari to make his own introduction about himself. Who are you? Who are you? please introduce yourself to us.
My name is Ari Drucker. I'm 20 years old. I'm from the U.S. I moved up here a little while ago, originally to attend university, and have since dropped out. I work these days in the fashion industry as a hairdresser and also in the hair and beauty industry as well. And it's been a really huge set of changes. I'm very excited to talk about it today.
Yes, thank you so much, Ari. To put up this path and get a good start today, I would like to start with pavement music, Cut Your Hair. Just a little bit of a fun reference here, but also a song that I really enjoy from the album Crooked Rain. So enjoy!
Stop it!
Darling, don't
crazy band start up. Each and every day I saw another one just the other day, a special new band. I don't remember lying, I don't remember lying, I don't remember a word, but I don't care, I care, I really don't care. Did you see the drummer's head?
Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome back. So let's start with this interview. I'm pretty excited for it. So welcome, Ari, to the show again. It's really great to have you here, to sharing a little bit of your journey with us. So I really appreciate. So as far as I know, because I know a little bit of your story here, but I think I'm diving in a lot more today. So when you moved to Vancouver, you initially chose to study neuroscience, as you've mentioned. So what's your attraction to neuroscience? Why Vancouver? Why Canada, coming all the way from the United States? Feelings on starting on SFU? Let's dive into a little bit more. So first of all, why neuroscience?
I think my love of neuroscience really came from a sort of academic standing that I had in high school. I very much enjoyed it at the time. I was a generally high-performing student. I took AP classes and, you know, all of that, like, gifted kid syndrome stuff that you'll see pretty much everyone talking about. I really came to love neuroscience, I guess, just because it was an intersection of all of the chemistry and biology and psychology that I had been good at. And so seeing all of that, like, come together and be combined and being used to explain human behavior, I think there's a natural pull to that.
Well, I wouldn't certainly not call it natural, because just hearing you speaking, I'm freaked out. But yeah, it's really interesting. I think it's an interesting path, looking at that and planning your life surrounding it, being that in the clinic, being that doing actually productions of articles for the academy, anything like that. It's just it's a great start. I mean, I think it's a really fancy path career. So, going from that, like, do you have any thoughts on why specifically SFU, why Canada? What is your attraction to this place?
Well, it was sort of a perfect storm of things that just made SFU feel like the right space. Originally, the plan was to come here with my brother, who was graduating at the same time as me. That did not end up panning out, but it was the original plan. I would remain near my family in Seattle, but also in a new city, which was very just important for me. I felt like if I was going to have a big transition at this point in my life, which all 18, 19-year-olds graduating from high school will to some degree, I felt that it was important to do that in a new city, in a new place, and find somewhere that I could really call my own.
And I resonated that. From our experience, it's not easy moving. I come a little bit far away with more of a hardship to visit my family.
Yes.
So I think we I can speak to that as well. But specifically Vancouver, I find it super interesting because it's gonna super fit what we're gonna discuss next. That is your transition to. I think like Vancouver will be a great city for that. But talking about this whole feelings and starting a new path here in Vancouver, away from the U.S. I bet this is already a big of a as an impact. But going from the academy to a more technical industry, if you allow me to call it like that, I think that's another big impact on your feelings. So let's start from the beginning. Why this transition? Why? What was not attractive for you at SFU anymore for you to want to move to a different path?
I think when I got to university, for the first time in my life, I started seriously considering what I wanted out of my future, which I think is a pretty common experience. People get to university and they realize, oh, hey, I have real free will. I can do what I like out here. And I just found that as much as I loved the topics that I was studying, as much as I was fine doing classwork, I just didn't see a future I was building towards. I'd heard horde stories of PhD students trapped for years under professors who don't want to let them graduate because they're too valuable as assistants. I had just heard horror stories of academia in general and what it's like to be there. And I realized that I couldn't really spend my life around the kinds of people I kept hearing about.
And that's fair, but that's also really hard. We hear every time people on their third, fourth years thinking, oh, maybe should I switch majors? Is this the path I really want? But considering going to a complete different spectrum is a new big of a gap. And I just want to pause here the conversation, just say how much I admire you for that. I know it's a difficult transition, it's a difficult decision, and I think that's the importance of what we do here, talking about this specific moment. It might lead some people who are considering switching to understand that this is normal, to understand the hardships beyond it, which is my next question, actually. How was it for your family? I mean, as your friend, I try to support you as much as possible, but also for your friends, people from your degree. Do you care talking a little bit about it?
Yeah. For sure. People found out very much in waves when I had decided. I think from the time I had started seriously investigating the decision to move to a JCI in downtown where I am currently wrapping up school, to when I started telling people, there was about a week's gap there. So to a lot of people, I think it looked very rushed on the surface. But nonetheless, I was very floored to receive a lot of support from people who knew that I had taken up hairdressing as a sort of hobby, as something to do in dorms, as a social activity. And that support was really well-founded because people believed not only in my drive and my want to, but also my skill and my experience, outweighing any rash decision that this looks like it might be. I had had many, many people, I think even you included at some point, tell me that when I was cutting hair, when I was doing this very creative technical process, that I had been more myself than I had ever looked, talking about neuroscience, talking about psychology, talking about my degree.
And if I may go a little bit into that, I think there is a confusion out there when you're choosing paths on what are your skills, are your hobbies, what you need to work with. Is the academy what you really want to work with? More specifically, okay, I have this, I love ice skating. I'm terrible at it. So should I invest my time in learning and make that my profession? Or is it something else that can become my profession? I think this is a really interesting topic for us to dive in. But before that, how do you feel about us playing a song?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so let's do so. Next song I'll play will be Ear of the Rabbit by Kylie V on the album Crash Test Plane. So enjoy that song, guys.
Best friends support one another, and you can be radio's best friend by becoming a CJSF supporter and making a donation now at cjsffunddrive.ca or by texting donate to 778 782 2573. Be radio's best friend today.
Hello, and we are back. I really appreciate to everyone who's tuned in and listening to my open mic with Ari. I hope you enjoy what I just played. Again, was Ear of the Rabbit by Kylie V, and her album Crash Test Plane that has recently released. So I really enjoyed, really a sweet, peaceful song. Thank you for tuning in. So coming back from when where we stopped, I was referring that talking about major switches or anything like that really comes to the point where we question our skills, what we should use for deciding our path, our hobbies, what decides what we're best at. Economists would say that where you're more productive is what should lead the way, but I'll let you give me your opinion, Ari. So what do you think?
I think that this is a little bit of a hot take in an artistic field, for sure, but I do think that to an extent you need to let your skill, your technical provision, like, lead the way to what you actually want to do. When it comes to a profession in which you are expected to have a certain level of expertise, it is one thing to like the concept of, you know, nice hair, to enjoy the artistry behind it, but it's another thing entirely to take that into your own hands, to do it, to deal with the fallout, to deal with the customer service side of things, and for it to all be worth it and end up in a profession you actually like. I had talked to a more senior hairstylist recently and gotten some fantastic advice from her that a good amount of people who go into cosmetology in the first place are there because they like the idea of beauty and hair and makeup and whatever they're studying on themselves, and not because they like the idea of actually having it as a profession. The ability to distinguish a fascination from a passion, I think, is what needs to determine how you want to spend the rest of your life.
Oh, that's a hot opinion. Yeah, I agree. Some people have it naturally. I particularly have always said that politics and policy is what interests me the most. Who knows why? I have some really interesting theories. For my side, I come with my community involvement in Brazil before moving here. I also goes a little bit for big impact that my grandparents had in our own community, and I think that drove me to think more about social inclusion, and that drove me a lot to think also about what shapes everyone's lives. And yeah, politics came in early. I remember as far as I am 6, maybe, me saying that I had this interest and this interest. So it comes a long way, but I know a lot of people who are in their first year of university who look a little bit back their paths and said, oh, I'm not really sure what I want to do for the rest of my life. I think that's an interesting talk for us to have before moving completely to a little bit more on the struggles, is to understand really what shapes this decision itself. So how do you look, how is it to look at first year university and say I want to do this, and how this shouldn't be a thing that lasts for the rest of your life? I think you're allowed to change at any point.
Mm-hmm.
if you just allow me to speak a little bit more on an interesting concept of economy that I'm studying right now, sunk flaw, where basically whatever you have that you have invested your money on, if there is a better alternative, you should switch, because there is no point in looking back at what is your investment.
Psychology actually has a similar concept, a fallacy, the sunk cost fallacy, the idea that, you know, people are going to tend to stick with what is comfortable and usual to them because they have already invested time, energy, money, whatever, into this way of life. I do remember learning about that in the high school psychology class, and even at the time being like, I don't get it. I think I have always been a little bit lucky in some ways, in that I have never felt the need to stay with something if it doesn't work for me, and I am capable of living into the present to an extent where it doesn't bother me to abandon something that I've put time and energy in if it doesn't, you know, necessarily work with what I'm doing now.
But that's not easy.
No, it isn't. It requires time, it requires money, and these things are not always open to everyone. So some people can only, you know, maneuver in the constraints they've been given by their life. And that's not, you know, their fault. That's not something to blame them for. But it's still important to be able to move within what is possible for you. Even if you can only change things about your life in small ways, it is still better than changing nothing, because you can't make big, drastic changes in the way that I had done by going to technical school.
Yes. Such a beautiful talk right here. I have a lot of friends who look to their majors and say, oh, but I am almost graduating. But we come to the point that you have perfectly mentioned, which is it takes time and it takes more than that. It takes money. it takes a support system, more specifically. So I think you've mentioned a little bit of how it was telling for your family, your friends. You said it was a gradual thing. It was not a burst and like, I'm changing.
No,
you have at least finished your term. But how does that time and how does that cost affect more than you but your family? Like, how do you see their reaction on that?
I remember the day I told my family I decided it should very much be like an in-person thing, because this is a big talk and everything. And I believe I psyched myself up for that a little bit too much, because I had gone home back down to Seattle, and I had told my dad before I had even left that, I've got like a big thing to talk to you and the rest of the family about and to like talk about this. and so I get down to Seattle and my brother cracked some joke about me taking a pair as a second major, because that's all I've been posting about, all I've been talking to about. And my father follows it up with second major. And I was like, yeah, that's the news. Actually, I'm going to hair school. Sorry. Goodbye. And I go up to my room and I freak out for 5 minutes. Now, the good news to that story is that after I am done freaking out, my dad comes upstairs and is like, hey, I just want you to know we're going to support you no matter what out here. If you want to go to hair school, then we will absolutely like find a way to make that happen. We will talk about the logistics and everything. And I was very lucky and I was very grateful to have that support system from my family, because even though ultimately, yeah, going to hair school was my choice and it was something that I did very independently, it was also something that I needed financial and social backing for. And that's just kind of a reality of trying to go to any post-secondary institution.
And do you have any specific references of friends or anything that you think that didn't have this support system? I mean, I don't know if you have any particular takes on that. Like, how is it like to actually wanting to make that decision, but being on the opposite side where, you know, most people will look and say, that's so crazy. Why would you ever do that?
I think for me, I don't think I encountered a lot of people who actively thought that me going to hair school was a bad decision. Among my family, people were mostly fine. My brother gave me some shit about it. I still get the college dropout jokes from time to time, but you know how it is. I don't think I've ever really been on the other end of it either, necessarily. I've never felt like, oh, this person that I know is making this huge life-changing decision. I've got to make sure that they're, like,